So when your life is over, how do you want to be remembered? The people that know you best, the people that know you just a little, that maybe have had one or two encounters, how would you like those people to remember you? Susie and I made a day trip yesterday to East Texas. It's where she's from. Her aunt had a birthday, celebrated 90 years. Her dad was a part of a family of 8 siblings, and she's the last to be alive, and so we just went to be with family. After that, we went to where Susie grew up, near the house, and we went to the cemetery where her parents both are buried, and I just walked around and looked at headstones just for a moment. And I stood in front of one that really caught my attention. It was a Mr. E.M. Henderson. And underneath, at the bottom of the headstone, the inscription was, "Here lies a really special man." Here lies a really special man. So when our life is over, how do we want to be remembered? You know, as Jesus approached the end of his life, he gave some thought as to how he wanted to be remembered. And so he shared those feelings with his disciples in what we would call the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. But when Jesus thought about his life, he gave some ways he wanted to be remembered. You know, there were a lot of symbols he could have chosen. There could have been a lot of icons that would have been out there that would have been a representative of his life. For instance, you know, he could have said that he wanted to be remembered by his birth. So remember, he was born in a manger. He was placed, you know, in a crib. There was no room for them in the inn, so it was in this feed trough. And he could have said, "I want to be remembered for the humble beginnings that I had. I want to be remembered for my birth." He could have said that, "I want to be remembered because of my goodness. I was a good person. I was a caring person. I love people. I invested in people." He said, "You know, I grew up in a home where I was taught to work hard." His earthly father was Joseph, who was a carpenter. So he could have said, "I want to be remembered because I was a person who worked hard." He said, "You know, I could have been remembered because of my teachings, because he was a great teacher." No one taught is way Jesus taught. So he said, "You know, what I want to be remembered for is I want to be remembered for my teachings." He could have said, "You know, I want to be remembered because I was a servant. Everywhere I went, I served people. I healed people. I helped people." On the very last night of his life with his disciples, he brought in there a bowl filled with water. He washed their feet, then he dried their feet. He said, "I want to be remembered as a servant." But no, he said, "What I want to be remembered, I want to be remembered that I gave my life for the sins of the world." And so the symbol that we remember Jesus nowadays is a cross, because that's how he wanted to be remembered. And as he prepared his disciples for the crucifixion and then the resurrection and then for his ascension into heaven, we read that he shared a meal with them before his crucifixion. If you have your Bibles, I want to read a portion of that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, we find the Lord's Supper in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we do not find the Lord's Supper written as such in the body of the Gospel of John. But he said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." And so when Jesus shared himself with others, they began sharing Jesus with others. And people came to know Christ all throughout that land. One was a city in Corinth where a church was established. So this book of Corinthians is written about 55 years maybe after Jesus had ascended. So the gospel is being spread. People's lives are being changed. They're coming into a personal relationship with him. And so we read this text is from this church in Corinth, because Paul was considering how they were handling the Lord's Supper, and they really were not giving enough thought. It was like a meal time. It was like a fellowship time. It was a celebration time, and they were coming and eating, but really not giving thought as to what it meant. And so Paul says, as churches, as we practice the Lord's Supper, that we should examine ourselves, that we should give thought, because there's meaning, there's purpose. In this, we find out how Jesus wanted to be remembered. So I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this. And whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the wine, drinks the juice." So what happened is these Corinthians had been changed by Jesus Christ, but as time went on, they fell back into their own way of living. And Paul is reminding them that we as believers should not blend into the environment in which we live. We should live lives that are very different. We should have a different purpose. We should have different love. We should care about people in different ways. We should be kind and caring. We should be generous. But we'd always remember, we'd always put out before them the message that we're like we are, because we have found the Savior who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so he's reminding them, when you come to the Lord's Supper, be still, be quiet, be thoughtful. Jesus wanted to be remembered for how and why he died. How did he die? He gave his life up. He made the choice that he would die for the sins of the world. No one took his life from him. He died voluntarily because he understood this was the purpose of God. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, already God began his redemptive plan so that people could find forgiveness of sin, enter into a relationship with him, one day live with him in heaven forever and ever. But it wasn't just about heaven. It was about them living a different kind of life on earth, because now they were forgiven of their sins and Jesus Christ was the leader. He wanted us to remember how he died and why he died was so that you and I could have a relationship with him. So as we practice the Lord's Supper, when we celebrate baptism, we are following it in the pathway of believers for thousands and thousands of years. We baptize because Jesus said, once someone comes into a personal relationship with him, that should be public. It's a private decision, but we live our faith out in a public manner. He said we should be brought under the water, we're buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. And a new kind of life. And the reason we can live a new kind of life, a different life, is because of Jesus Christ living in us. He wanted us to remember how he died and why he died. It's not the life and it's not the teachings of Jesus that will save sinners. It is the death on the cross and it is the resurrection. I like what J.D. Greer says in his book, The Gospel. If you're ever wondering, is life worth it? My life is hard. My life is difficult. Does God not see what I'm going through? Does God not care? I like what J.D. Greer writes. He said, "We measure God's compassions by the cross and his power by the resurrection." If you ever think God has forgotten you, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't know what you're going through, just remember the cross. It's how he wanted us to remember him when his life returned to the Father. Next time you think God doesn't know about me or care about me or love me or why is he not helping me, never question the compassions of God. Just think of the cross, because Jesus gave his life there. But it's not just about his compassions. It's about his power. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Scripture says that the same power that raised him up from the grave That power lives within us. He's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. It's not another experience afterwards. The moment Christ becomes our Savior, the Spirit of Jesus comes to live within us. He wants to lead our lives. He wants to rule our lives. And the more area of our lives that we give Him, then we see the stronger presence of the Holy Spirit because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. So before we share the Lord's Supper, I just wanted us to slow down. We live in a busy world, a fast-paced world. We are so preoccupied. During this time of worship this morning, we have been thinking about the past. We've been thinking about tomorrow. We've been thinking about our future. I just want us to be quiet. I want us to be still. I want us to remember what the psalmist writes in Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And I want us to be still. This is a time for us to reflect. This is a time for us to look back. To look back why He died. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, He really did give His Son. Now, Christmas is a special time for us at Calvary, and we have a little tagline we use during the Christmas season, it really happened. And what we need to remember is the cross, the crucifixion, it really happened. And Jesus was a part of the plan. And Jesus was willing to come to die for our sins. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son so that you and I can be forgiven, so that you and I can be called the children of God. 1 John 2:2, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. Jesus died for every human being born. The reason that we send people overseas, the reason that three of our men are on their way back from being in Nepal, is because we believe Jesus died for the whole world. He didn't just die for the United States. He didn't just die for us who live in Alexandria, Louisiana. He died for the whole world. He was the atoning sacrifice. And anyone who will trust Him will find new life, and they will find forgiveness. This is a time that we look back that Jesus came. This is a time that we look ahead. It's not all about the past. It's not all about the present. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, and whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes, until He comes back. Just like Jesus came the first time, the Bible says He will return. There are more prophecies about the second coming of Jesus than there are about the first coming. Now, we don't know when He's going to come. And because of that, we are to be waiting and we are to be watchful. We are to be ready. And that is the hope we have as believers. That is the hope of the church. That the one whom we worship, He is coming back to make everything the way God wanted it to be. It's the return of Jesus Christ. And this reminds us, not only that He came and He died, this reminds us of the promise that He's coming again. This is a time to look within and to examine ourselves, to ask God to help us see our hearts the way that He sees our hearts. Psalms 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. And point out, bring to my attention anything about my life that's not the way that you want it. The passage we read, 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks will recognize the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on him. You see, this is more than just we're going to eat some bread and we're going to drink a little bit of juice. Now, this is that time that we come before Him, having trusted Him as our Savior, but also examining What are areas in my life that I've not allowed God to be the leader and to be the ruler of my life? This is a time that we take inventory of the priorities in our life. Do I hold any grudge against anyone? You know, God said that we are to love Him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our strength, and we're to love our neighbors ourselves. It's a good time to think, is there somebody that treated me in such a way that I've not been able to forgive and forget and to move on with God's help? It's a time for me to think about my priorities. Am I living and behaving like someone who has received Christ? And do I reflect Him in my daily life? Not just reflect Him while I'm here. Do I reflect Him in my daily life? It's a time for us to look around as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. When we trust Him now, we are living with Him. When we breathe our last breath, we will live with Him for all eternity. But we are living with Him now. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. We are to look around. You see, the Bible says that through our faith in Jesus Christ, you and I are not our own anymore. We're part of a family. We refer to this church as our Calvary family. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we need to look around. We need to look around this room and think, there are some empty seats here. Who would I like to see a part of the Calvary family? Who would I like to see in this room? Who would I like to see worshiping with us? It's a time for us to look around. Who's a family member? Who's a coworker? Who's a friend? Who's a neighbor that is outside of a relationship with God? And you knew if they came into a relationship with Jesus, their life would be different. Look around this room. Who is someone that you would like to see in this room, and they're not here right now? Look around this room. Who is someone that you used to see, but you don't see them here anymore? Now, I know that there are some people that should not be here because they have underlying health challenges, but that's not everybody. Who were people that you used to sit next to and worship? Who were people that you used to look across the room and see? Who were people that used to be in your life group, but they're not in your life group anymore? You know, this is a time that we look around. Who are people who need to be a part of a fellowship such as this? Because their lives, their marriages, their families, they themselves would be so different. They themselves would have so much peace, so much joy, so much purpose that they're not having now. So you see, this is a time, church family, for us to be quiet. This is a time for us to be still. So before we take the elements, I just want us to have a little self-inventory. I'm going to just read some statements, and I want you to think about these. Do you have a special relationship with Jesus or just a special relationship with this church? You know, this church is a very inviting church. It's a fun place. It's a place where people are here who care about people. We love each other. We help each other. We are encouraging. I mean, we have great programs for children. Wasn't it fantastic a moment ago to see all these children spread out across here? I mean, this is an inviting climate. Do you just love the church and love the atmosphere? Or do you really love Jesus Christ? Have you come to that moment in your life that you've trusted Him as your Savior? Have you come to a moment that you have confessed your sins to God, that you've repented, and you've personally asked Jesus to be your Savior? Have you come to that moment? Have you come to that moment? Are you striving daily to become a more fully devoted follower of Jesus? Are we striving daily? Because there are so many distractions that are out there that can cause us to take our eyes off Him and can lead us out of step with Him. Do my thoughts, does my speech, does my character, does my actions, my priorities, my relationships and finances, do they reflect that Jesus Christ is an important part of my life? Do they? It's a time for us to think about that. Are you carrying any hurt, any guilt, any unforgiveness, any worry and fear that you would like to give Jesus right now? You've just been carrying it a long time. You did something months ago. You've confessed it to God. He's forgiven it, but you're just carrying it. Maybe something you said. Is there something that you would like to turn over to God? In Jesus Christ, there is absolutely nothing we can do to make God love us any more than He does. There's nothing we can do if we are in Christ. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. There's nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. In Christ, there is nothing I have done that would make God love me any less. So maybe you're just carrying a lot of things in your life right now. And this is a great time. Remember, the whole reason He came was so that we could be forgiven of our sins and that the Holy Spirit could reside in our lives. Not to have to wait to have the life God wants us to have when we get to heaven. There's a life God wants us to have right here, right now, in a life that is full of joy. There's a great difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is when all my happenstances are going right. But joy means I've got joy regardless of what's going on in my heart. Because God's there. God's more powerful than that. He wants us to have that joy. So right now, I want us to bow our heads and I want us to close our eyes, and I'm going to give you just a few moments to just allow God to bring to your attention things that you're carrying that you really need to release to Him. It's a great time for you to think about, do I really have a relationship with Jesus, or am I just have a relationship with the church? Maybe God's been prompting you to make a move of some kind and you've never made that move. I just want this to be a moment that we each one open our hearts and open our lives. We release to God whatever we are holding on that is robbing us of the joy that He has for us. God, we thank You for this moment. We are following the teachings of Your Word that You said we were to follow. So many years ago, as believers, we come together as a family to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. And God, we know that He gave His life willingly. He didn't have to do that. It's a reminder that if we ever are concerned about how much You love us, Your compassion is demonstrated on the cross. We ever wonder, can You help us move beyond to the life that You have for us, to let go of things that we need to let go of and to add into our life things that we need to add into our life. We need to remember that Your power was demonstrated in the resurrection. And God, we need to remember these things because we live in a world full of so many distractions. There's so much hurt, so much pain, so much brokenness. There's so much busyness. But right now, God, we come just to be with You. We come to celebrate the fact when we eat this wafer that it represents Your body was broken for us. And when we drink the juice, we see that is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. So God, we come now to thank you for your love. And we pray because of this time that we are spending together, that when we leave here different because of this fresh and new encounter that we have had with you. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll take the cup that you received when you came in, and if you will make sure the juice is on the downside, and if you'll pull the top seal, the wafer's there. This represents to us the body of Jesus Christ that was broken and given for us. And he said, eat. If you'll peel back the lid over the juice. He said, this represents his blood that was shed for us. It was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. All of our sin. You may drink. And he said, every time we do this, we remember not only that he came 2,000 years ago, but there will be a time that he will come back.